Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet, locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
Good Wednesday afternoon. Welcome in to Sports 180. Thank you for being with us today. We are excited to be with you for the next 3 hours. This is going to be a busy show. It's a big show. It's Florida Day, Florida Night coming up in basketball for Tennessee. And I think this is one of the games that fans often look forward to more than some of the other opponents in the SEC. We'll go back in time a little bit with some exciting Tennessee-Florida stories on today's show. And we are excited to be out and about today. Joel Silverberg is in for Heather today. I'm Josh Ward. Logan Ward is producing. And we are set up here at the Pure Magic Car Wash in Farragut on Kingston Pike, across from where Sam and Andy's is. We will be here until 3 o'clock. And we're set up here as last week we were in the offices of Northwestern Mutual with the Axiom Wealth Management team and talked about all that they do, and we will do so again today. We're set up here today to also talk about, you know, how they can help people. They've helped people right here at Pure Magic, and they can do the same for you. I've told you that I'm a client, so they've helped me with a number of things we've done before I had my family and where we are now and what we're trying to do for the future, and they can do the same for you. Axiom.nm.com is the website, AXIOM.nm.com, part of Northwestern Mutual, setting us up here today, Joel Silverberg.
Yeah, and this, especially here at Pure Magic Car Wash, this is not the old school car wash that you would see back behind a gas station or something like that. This is high tech. It is a full service car wash that you can utilize to have your vehicle come in, and everything that Axiom is doing to help your family be able to save and kind of clean up your finances a little bit as well. Whatever you're looking forward to for your future, your family's future, a lot of great sponsors here with Axiom Wealth Management as well as Pure Magic Car Wash.
Yeah, when they lay out what can be done for you over time as you invest, and again, it depends on what your goals are, but they can help you no matter where you are. It's never too early, never too late to get the process started. It's kind of magical as well. So you can go to the website, axiom.nm.com, learn more online, get in touch with them, set up a call, and you can kind of lay out where you are, what your goals are, ask any questions. There are no dumb questions when it comes to trying to figure out your financial future and investing and helping yourself, your family. The Axiom Wealth Management team with Northwestern Mutual can do that for you, and we're set up here to tell you about it today and what they can do for all different kinds of clients at the Pure Magic Car Wash in Farragut. Kingston Pike will be here until 3 o'clock, and we have a lot for you on today's show. We will talk to David Cobb from CBS Sports coming up at 12:30. Tennessee has won a couple of basketball games since we last talked to David. We'll see what he thinks about the Vols after this past week, with Florida coming up tonight and Tennessee going to Texas on Saturday. So we'll talk to David at 12:30. We will talk to Jay Busby, our friend from Yahoo Sports, coming up at 1:30, and then Braden Gall of 440 Sports at 2:30. We had the sleigh ride yesterday, a full hour with Ron Slay. He told a great Tennessee-Florida story, so we're going to bring that to you this afternoon. You'll have to tune in for that, and you can always go back and listen to the podcast section. So a lot of Tennessee-Florida talk. We'll update you on what's going on in the NFL and the sports world today, so why don't we dive in? Let's take a look around the sports world. Kind of a wild night in the SEC last night, Joel Silverberg. You had Alabama go down against Georgia. Auburn almost went down, the number one team in the country, and it would have been 0-2 for Bruce Pearl the game after becoming the number one team in the country, but Auburn was able to hold on by a point against Missouri. And then Kentucky, despite kind of a late or second-half push from Mississippi State, was able to get the win fairly comfortably at home in Rupp Arena. So Kentucky with the win last night, but Alabama, not a good loss there, and they have a really weird resume where you have some really impressive wins but some head-scratching losses.
Yeah, and ultimately those teams get into the tournament, but man, you feel like you leave a lot more on the table than you actually gain, because you're talking about multiple seed lines and how that can fluctuate. When you've got a win against a team like Gonzaga but a loss to a team like Georgia, man, that just does not bode well overall for your resume. And you look back on it, you see what Alabama accomplished last year, some of the wins that they have this season, and that seed line just isn't going to match up to all that. And that's going to be frustrating for Alabama when March rolls around.
Tonight in the SEC, Tennessee and Florida will play at an earlier time. Make sure you know what time the game starts. 6 o'clock on ESPN2. Tennessee, a 9.5-point favorite, hosting the Gators, who just played two nights ago against Ole Miss. Ole Miss will be at home tonight at 7 o'clock against Arkansas. Same tip-off time, South Carolina at home against Vanderbilt. And then LSU at home against Texas A&M. And we've talked about the last couple of days. Florida, short rest, quick turnaround, going from Oxford to Knoxville.
Short rest and not 100% healthy as it is, and still kind of trying to figure out, okay, who all are we going to have available for tonight? Tennessee, the rest advantage. We talked about some of the analytics from our boy Tyler Wyatt about what sort of advantage that gives Tennessee based on recent history with Florida under Mike White, Tennessee under Rick Barnes. So the stage being set for Tennessee to be able to take care of business tonight. Still have to go out and do it at Thompson Bowling Arena at 6 o'clock.
In the end, they took care of business, but it got really interesting with Duke and Clemson. Duke held on for a close win, as did Illinois with its win against Michigan State. Had a huge lead, almost gave the lead up to where Michigan State had a shot to tie or win at the end. Went to the free throw line. First one was no good, needing both to tie the game. So Illinois was able to escape with the win. And then late last night, UCLA all over Arizona. Big win in the Pac-12, 75-59.
Yeah, so UCLA kind of trying to follow up. It's all the hype that it had as being the top team in the Big 12 before the season got started. They took a couple of losses early, and now they find themselves rolling again with a big win over Arizona. Also, that Illinois win over Michigan State, no Andre Curbelo, no Kofi Coburn. Still find a way to beat Sparty at home. So a nice win for the Illini.
Yep, impressive. Notable games maybe around the country. You have a top 25 matchup, Xavier at home against Providence, Iowa State at Oklahoma State, Davidson at home against VCU. That's some of the matchups that might interest you. Marquette at Seton Hall, pretty good there as well. The Hall of Fame vote came in last night. David Ortiz is headed to the Hall of Fame. No surprise. I think he's very deserving, but no Barry Bonds, no Roger Clemens. I also think they are deserving of going in, but the baseball writers decided not. So 10 for 10 missing. They are off the ballot. We'll see what the Veterans Committee does in the future. No Curt Schilling either in the Hall of Fame, also expected.
Yeah, Curt Schilling with his vote actually dropping. And what's interesting is that he still got a majority vote despite asking, hey, take me off the ballot. And all of it is just very bizarre. And I wonder how many of those votes voted for Curt Schilling to spite Curt Schilling, him asking to be taken off the ballot. Todd Helton seeing his percentage go up a little bit. And so the immediate reaction from some of ESPN's analysts were Helton should still be on track to eventually get in based on where he's at from a percentage standpoint. May not happen until like 2024. But the thought is that Todd Helton, based on historical projections, should get into Cooperstown at some point.
Yeah, we could spend all day on it. We have plenty of time moving forward to talk about it. But the Hall of Fame process in baseball, to me, is becoming a complete joke. And it's,
yes.
There's always been a flawed aspect to it, the lack of the inability until Mariano Rivera to get all votes. He was the first one to be a unanimous selection, despite so many players that, of course, should belong in the Hall of Fame. But there's this idea, well, you can't be unanimous, so I'm not going to vote for you the first time. So this process where you build up. If you're a Hall of Famer in 5 years, why wouldn't you be one now or next year or the year after? But then the whole Barry Bonds, we'll have some numbers for you that show Barry Bonds versus David Ortiz. And then were you liked or not? If Barry Bonds were liked and used steroids, I think he's a Hall of Famer, but he was very much disliked. And he has to own that as a person, but it doesn't change what he was as a player. But and you're entitled to your own opinion. If you don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame, that's fine. But in terms of what the actual process is, part of it is, did they like you or not?
And that's what's really tainted about the Hall of Fame. I also thought Ramona Shelbourne on ESPN had a really excellent point yesterday when she said, look, the Hall of Fame, baseball is essentially trying to act as if the steroid era did not happen. And it did. You can't ignore history. It happened. There are other people from the steroid era that are in the Hall of Fame. You want to build them a separate room, fine, do whatever. But right now, just ignoring the fact that Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds didn't have incredibly successful careers and just ignoring all of that is a joke by the Baseball Writers Association of America.
So there's my slight rant to begin the show. Other notes for you. Chris Mack on his way out at Louisville. we'll see what happens next with Louisville. Louisville always finds itself basketball, at least sometimes football, in some kind of controversy. So they're going to be going their separate ways. If Rob Gronkowski, I went with this commercial there, if he had to decide today, he would retire. But he doesn't have to decide today. He said he wants to wait it out, heal up a little bit, see how he feels later in the offseason, maybe find out what Tom Brady's going to do as well to decide if he wants to play again. But he can become a free agent. And then it looks like around the tag deadline, so late February, early March, by then, Aaron Rodgers plans to decide what he wants to do, play for Green Bay again, ask for a trade somewhere else, or retire.
Yeah, and kind of up in the air, and with a lot of different coaching decisions with Sean Payton leaving New Orleans. Okay, so what does Aaron Rodgers do? You know, other teams are going to be looking for quarterbacks. You've got Pittsburgh, and there's conversations about now New Orleans again with, you know, is Jameis Winston really the answer? And so many other potential quarterbacks that are still kind of up in the air about where their next destination is. Aaron Rodgers plays such a huge role into that, and you just wonder, is that going to slow down the rest of the carousel while the NFL waits to hear what is the decision from Aaron Rodgers?
Right. Some Byron Leftwich momentum that he could be the next head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, wants to bring the Duval swagger back, which I am all behind. So a lot to pay attention to in the NFL with Conference Championship weekend coming up in just a few days. As we take a look around the sports world to begin today's show, we do so here on Kings to Pike in Farragut, as we are at the Pure Magic Car Wash telling you about what Axiom Wealth Management and Northwestern Mutual can do for you. Go to axiom.nm.com. That's the website to learn more, get in touch, ask any questions, set up a call with Axiom and Northwestern Mutual. As we continue on Sports 180 with Joel Silverberg and Josh Ward, Tennessee, Florida tonight at Thompson Bowling Arena. We'll talk plenty about that as we continue on 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. Download the WNML app. You can listen on the go anytime. You can listen on demand as well in Apple Podcasts to any interview, any hour of the show, any show from the Sports Animal with Apple Podcasts. As we're here until 3 o'clock in Farragut on Kingston Pike with the Pure Magic Car Wash. The vehicles are coming through, and we are set up here today as they've been clients right here of Axiom Wealth Management and Northwestern Mutual. You can be as well. I have been as well. Still am. And they've helped me along the way with different processes from before I was married to after we got married to now that we've had children, and made adjustments along the way. And it's been a great experience. So you can go online, axiom.nm.com, to see what they can do for you, to get in touch, to ask questions. And there are no dumb questions when it comes to figuring out what to do with your finances and your future. Axiom.nm.com is the website located right here in Knoxville. As Joel Silverberg is here for Heather, I'm Josh Ward. We're going to talk to David Cobb of CBS Sports coming up at 12:30. Also be listening with Tennessee hosting Florida. We're going to send some folks to the game tonight. So be listening for your chance to win some tickets that we'll give away during today's show. And it's Tennessee, Florida. This is not the best Florida team, Joel. They've had some issues recently. They're not at 100%. Colin Castleton has been out. They got off to a really nice start, had that impressive win against Florida State, but especially since SEC play, that a really bad non-conference loss as well. This is not the strongest Gators team coming in. It's still Tennessee, Florida, though, which I think means more to Tennessee fans than a lot of games.
I would agree. I think for anytime you're playing against a Florida team in any capacity, you know that they're going to come out. They're going to, at the very least, they're going to be scrappy and they're going to compete. And so if you're Tennessee, you really need to take it as an opportunity of seeing Florida as that team that's trying to come in and really put a taint on your resume and potentially ruin your season. So these two teams met obviously a couple of times last year, recent SEC tournament history. There's obviously the elbow that John Fulkerson took. Yep. So there's recent animosity with players on both of these teams. So they're, you know, they have an easy memory. It's not hard to forget. So I think for Tennessee, you understand that Florida's trying to come in and really kind of tilt the boat a little bit if you're Tennessee.
Yeah, and that kind of sets up a story from Ron Slay that he told yesterday going back to Tennessee-Florida game from his playing days, as we saw with the LSU game beforehand, during. There were a few players mixing it up, and Uroš Plavšić has brought a different level of physicality and emotional leadership, I would say, on the floor. Story time from Ron Slay yesterday was great, so we wanted to bring it to you. This goes back to his playing days. Ron Slay with a memory going up against the Gators.
When we were playing Florida my freshman year, Florida was the big bad bully in the SEC. We were, and I want to say either Kentucky or Auburn was floating around right in there. But it was coming down to us, and we had already beat them in Gainesville in double overtime. They were coming back to us, try to get some revenge. I remember Charles Hathaway and maybe one or two more guys. I can't remember exactly who it was, but I remember Big Hat was out there. Maybe C.J. Black. C.J. Black, Charles Hathaway, they were out there warming up, just on the court doing some individual work, getting shots up. Donnell Harvey, who played for the Florida Gators at the time, who was number one player in our class in 99, and he came in very highly touted guy, man, was one and done. Kind of like a bully energy guy, athletic. So he came in, and this was before the fans were let in or anything. He walked on the court to warm up, too, and he went to the end where CJ – now, mind you, Florida has an end to warm up on. Tennessee has an end to warm up on. CJ and Hat warming up on one end. Donnell Harvey walks past his end to warm up where it's an open basket and goes down to – this was so honoring. He goes down to CJ Black and Hat, Big Hathaway's goal and doesn't bring a ball or nothing. So it's three guys down there, two balls. They doing their shots. He takes the ball after CJ makes the shot and just starts shooting on the same basket. So CJ was telling me, looking like, hold on, man, what is – no, man, this ain't that, man. So he goes to Donnell Harvey and snatches the ball back. So instead of messing with CJ, he goes to Big Hat and snatches the ball out of Big Hat's hand. So that's the wrong person to play with, too. He don't know this. So Big Hat go and snatch it back to it. He don't want to let it go. So they wrestling with the ball by this time. the strength coach done came in there and told us, hey, man, Big Hat and Donnell Harvey in here, they out here on it. They out here getting to it on the court. So we come up out the locker room. We ready to get it on. We like, hold up. So by the time we get out there, I guess word got back to the Florida locker room. They come out, too. So it's kind of like a standoff, and we like, what's up? You know, and they like, what's up? So it wasn't no backing down, so it was cool. I said, all right, that's what's up. So I go in the back of the tunnel. They go back to their locker room. We go back to our locker room. And at that time, it was double doors before they redid the rooms. You could walk down the hallway and go to their locker room. So I walk down the hallway, kick the door open, the double doors, kick them open like, what's up? We don't need no referees. We don't need no jump ball or nothing. We can get it on right here. We don't need none of that. And so they were trying to walk up. We was ready to get it on. So that's right there. That's what set the tone for that Florida game. If you watch the Tennessee, if you go back and watch the Tennessee-Florida game at home, it was really, really, really feisty. I mean, people were getting at it. And it all started right there from the pregame. So, listen, man, Florida knows who we are. We know who they are. We're going to be routed. They're going to be routed. And guess what? Nobody's going to back down. I don't care nothing about the records. You got to be able to bring it. And that's what I'm so happy I got to see in Euros and Santi and Ziegler and all those guys pregame when they got into it with LSU. You know what I'm saying? Like, carry that over throughout the season. Now, I ain't telling you, man, to go be silly and fight. But, man, stand your ground, too. Ain't nothing wrong with defending yourself. You know, ain't nothing wrong with having a counter. I ain't telling you to swing, but if they swing, make sure you duck. And then you come back with one. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I ain't telling you to be violent, but, you know, I mean, hey, if it's a boulder sitting right down the ground and you can pick it up, I don't know what you're going to do with it, but do something. That's all I'm saying.
Ron Slay yesterday on the Slay Ride, presented by Native Design and Hardscape. He always brings great stories. I told him I never heard that one before, and we'll be replaying that maybe every year before the Tennessee-Florida game, at least once.
The part of him just kicking the door down.
Let's get it on.
Is the part that gets me. Look, he may be saying, I'm not telling you to go out and fight. He's also not telling you to go out and fight.
Yeah, he's picking up the boulder. I'm hiding behind the boulder. That's Ron Slay yesterday ahead of tonight's Tennessee-Florida game, 6 o'clock tip-off at Thompson Bowling Arena. We'll talk about that. Tennessee going to Texas this weekend as well with David Cobb of CBS Sports when we come back. Today set up in Farragut on Kingston Pike at the Pure Magic Car Wash. Set up here thanks to Axiom Wealth Management and Northwestern Mutual, ready to help you and your financial future online, axiom.nm. CBSSports.com. We'll talk college basketball, maybe a little football with David Cobb of CBS Sports when we come back here on Sports 180 with Joel Silverberg. I'm Josh Ward on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Tonight, number 18, Tennessee will host Florida tonight from Thompson Bowling Arena. Tip-off is scheduled for 6 o'clock. Vol Network coverage takes over at 5:30 right here on The Sports Animal. Elsewhere around the country in college basketball in the SEC, number 19, LSU hosts Texas A&M. Ole Miss will travel to Arkansas, and Vanderbilt travels to South Carolina. Number 21, Xavier will host number 17, Providence. Number 25, Davidson will host VCU. Tonight in the NBA, the Grizzlies travel to San Antonio to take on the Spurs. The Hawks will play host to the Kings. The Jazz will host the Sun, and the Chicago Bulls will host the Toronto Raptors. Have a good afternoon. I'm Logan Ward.
Joel Silverberg is in for Heather today. I'm Josh Ward. We are in Farragut. We are on Kingston Pike. We are at Pure Magic Car Wash, one of several locations. The setup here is great. We're watching the vehicles come through on the conveyor belt right in front of us here. They've won awards for a reason, because they know what they're doing, taking care of your vehicle with subscriptions that are available or one-time stop-ins. That's where we are today at Pure Magic Car Wash, Farragut location on Kingston Pike, across from where Sam and Andy's is, and we'll be here until 3 o'clock, thanks to Axiom Wealth Management and Northwestern Mutual. And we go to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline to welcome to the show David Cobb of CBSSports.com, covering college football and college basketball. David, we appreciate the time as always. In the last week, Tennessee has gone to Nashville to beat Vanderbilt and then beat LSU at home. We've seen Uros Plavschitz playing a bigger role. They were mixing it up a little bit before the game, during the game against LSU. Vandy as well. What have you thought about what you've seen from Tennessee in the last week, the Plavsic involvement, as the Vols get ready for Florida tonight?
Yeah, I felt bad for the last like month or so, because I was on here with you guys probably in December, and was kind of knocking Rick for playing so many guys, and was sort of suggesting that Uros may not have a place in the rotation. And boy, have I been proven wrong there. In fact, I looked it up after that Vandy game. And at that time, Uros Plavšić had played, I think, 25 or more minutes in just three games during his 50-game tenure at Tennessee. And on those three occasions, he had reached double figures every time. And they've all come against SEC opponents. So, I mean, maybe it's the exact opposite of what I was saying a month or so ago. Maybe it's a situation where they just need to give the guy, you know, a steady role. And we talked about it last week, and I think it's true and worth repeating, that John Fulkerson, over the course of his career, has had some really big games every now and then. But I think when he's at his best and when he's most consistent is when he provides you a spark off the bench, as opposed to being that go-to guy. So, yeah, they may have found something there. Uros looks like a really good basketball player when he knows what his role is and when he feels like he's actually going to be out on the court for a little while. And he gave him that edge, too. He gave him that sort of emotional spark by being a little bit of a villain and a little bit of a bully. And I think Tennessee needs that. They need some of that toughness, some of that Admiral Schofield swagger, if you will. So it was cool to see Uros bring that.
Do you think Tennessee's getting closer to kind of figuring out its identity? I know there are things offensively that Rick Barnes is still trying to solve with this team. Do you think the Vols are making significant progress and getting closer to that now that we're kind of halfway through the SEC schedule?
Man, I really feel like it would help if Olivier Nkamwa would start knocking down some threes, because it would space the floor quite a bit more than it's being spaced right now. And he is shooting a decent percentage on him. He just doesn't take a lot of them, and you don't see opponents close out on him. So when I look at Tennessee and watch them play, I see a guy in Kennedy Chandler who can get into the paint almost at will, because he's such a good ball handler and he's so agile and quick. But once he gets there, there's not really anywhere for him to go a lot of times, because Tennessee often plays two traditional bigs and neither of them can shoot. No matter what the combination is, if it's Kamwa, Fulkerson, Plavsic, Huntley Hatfield, you name it, none of those four are really like serious threats to shoot from the outside. And so the paint ends up getting clogged. That's, to me, the biggest issue with Tennessee's offense. I feel like they've modernized a little bit this year by shooting a lot more threes and kind of trying to replicate what Alabama did so successfully last year. But maybe next season and on into the future, maybe that next step is recruiting more stretch bigs. Because if you recall, even Grant Williams could step out to the corner and shoot. And they could go small, too, play Admiral at the four, and then all five players could shoot. So I think they need to get back to that with their bigs if you know, we're looking into the future a little bit.
We're talking to David Cobb from CBSSports.com. What do you think about this week for Tennessee? The Vols host Florida, which is coming off short rest and not at 100%, it seems, in tonight's game. And then Rick Barnes going back to Texas. Tennessee playing at Texas this weekend.
I know. Yeah, that's going to be fun. It sounds like they're going to do some cool stuff for Rick Barnes, his first time going back there to Texas. And, you know, I think as the years have gone by, there's probably a much greater appreciation now for what he did at Texas. And the results tapered off over time. And in some ways, I think you're beginning to see his Tennessee tenure perhaps mirror that Texas tenure in some ways. But I would guess that a lot of Texas fans would probably warn Tennessee fans about growing frustrated, because they went through a wilderness period after they got rid of Barnes where, you know, the success under Shaka Smart just wasn't there. And, I mean, a lot of people thought that they would be a top 10 team this season in year one under Chris Beard. I thought that Texas might be a top 10 caliber team, and they haven't been. So I think Rick going in there, he'll be appreciated now that they're, you know, several years removed from his tenure. That'll be cool to see. And then, yeah, Florida, no excuses tonight. You got to get that one done against a Gators team that's really slumping, especially at home. You can't drop that one if you want to be in the mix for a double bye, you know, once this thing is all said and done.
What was your reaction to kind of everything happening in the SEC last night? You had the upset for Georgia over Alabama. You had a near scare for Auburn. You had Kentucky winning a competitive game. What was your kind of takeaway from what we saw in the SEC last night?
I think Mississippi State's good. I've been wanting to think that they're good for a long time, but them going up to Rupp and taking that game to double OT when it looked like they were, you know, done for, you know, with just a few minutes left in the game, really impressive. I think Mississippi State has some talent, and I think they're pretty deep. And Iverson Molinar is honestly one of the more underrated players in the country. So it's pretty impressed with Mississippi State. My big thing with Kentucky right now is just like, man, how good could they be if they ever had Sahvir Wheeler and Ty Washington both healthy, you know, for the same big conference game? Because, you know, their two losses so far this season have come with Sahvir Wheeler knocked out early against LSU, and then with Ty Washington knocked out midway through the first half at Auburn. And I think if they're fully healthy in the backcourt for either of those games, could be looking at different outcomes there. So definitely think that Kentucky is still legit, even though they struggled a little bit last night. And then otherwise, just a total stunner with Alabama. I don't really know what's going on with him. The defense is just not probably quite as good as it was last year. Maybe they miss, you know, Herb Jones, that glue guy, more than perhaps they thought they would.
David Cobb, CBSSports.com. With that win against Kentucky, did Auburn put itself as the team to beat in the SEC?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, it's a deep team. It's a legit team. They won last night, guys, with Jabari Smith going like 2 for 15 from the floor. I mean, you know, Auburn's shooting percentage was somewhere in the low 30s last night. And when you go on the road and your star goes 2 for 15, you have your worst shooting percentage of the season, and you still win, like that is a sign that you're a pretty good team. So that was their worst game of the season, and they still won it. So that's the mark of a conference championship caliber team. And the fact that they got a 2-game lead now in the standings, and they don't have to play Kentucky again, they don't have to go to Rupp, huge advantage. I mean, if they were going to Rupp, I would say that, you know, all bets are off and that the thing was still open. But I mean, it is absolutely Auburn's to lose right now.
When you're kind of looking at Auburn from a national standpoint, we obviously know what the AP poll and the KenPom rankings are saying about the Tigers, but kind of from what you've seen on the eye test, how do you kind of compare Auburn as a national championship contender with the likes of Gonzaga, UCLA, Baylor, Duke, Kansas, all these top-tier teams, some programs that have been there before? Where do you see Auburn in the mix for those guys?
Yeah, I mean, right there with them, absolutely, because the difference with this Auburn team is the defense. It's the best defensive team that Bruce Pearl has had at Auburn it might be better than any defensive team that he had at Tennessee. And the big reason for that is Walker Kessler, one, huge difference maker on the inside as a shot blocker. Jabari Smith, super versatile, can guard a lot of different players and block shots. And then, I mean, you know, the guards and like Katie Johnson, just a ferocious on-ball defender and the absolute last guy that you want in your grill when you're trying to make something happen off the dribble. So they can get after you in the backcourt. They can get after you at the rim. They're just a really difficult team to play against defensively, which sets them apart, because the Pearl teams have always been fun offensively. They've always been up-tempo, trigger happy, you know, just like they were at Tennessee. But the difference this season is that you know, elite rim protector in Walker Kessler, and that defense going from like okay to like really, really good.
David Cobb, CBSSports.com. A football thought before we let you go here. Caleb Williams, where is he playing quarterback next year?
It's funny seeing a report yesterday, I think it was from On3, suggesting Wisconsin as a legitimate possibility.
The Badgers.
Okay. You know, what dairy farmer up there is offering him NIL deal? That's what I want to know. I mean, come on. The guy's not going to Wisconsin, right? Like, I mean, I guess if you wanted to follow the Russell Wilson path, but no, it's just, I think it's going to be USC in the end, but he's got to choose soon, right? Because all these ad drop dates for classes are coming up, and in some cases they've already passed. So, yeah, the Wisconsin thing is interesting, but I'm still betting on USC.
Yeah, isn't there kind of an element of, oh, yeah, they do have to go to class and go to school. We have to remember the semester guidelines and all that stuff.
You know, I think some places you can get the provost on the phone and be like, look, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you follow college football, but we can make some exceptions for this guy, right?
Yeah.
And let's just be honest, the schools with the provost who will accommodate you like that, probably the schools that we're going to be looking at as national title contenders.
Yeah, you might not be wrong there. CBSSports.com, a ton of college basketball coverage, I have to imagine, right now, now that we're in full swing. February is like, that's your month where you have to put everything together to make your tournament run.
Yeah, absolutely. So we did a piece just the other day about teams outside the top 50 of the net that we think have a shot at it. Arkansas is my pick. They were 55 in the net as of just the other day. But I think Musk has those guys starting to figure it out. So I don't know that they're making an Elite Eight run, but there's Arkansas and some others who are gearing up for, you know, a big month ahead here. So, yeah, we'll have plenty of coverage as the weeks unfold. And you know what? Now it's like almost football-esque in the sense that we have two massive job openings with over a month left still in the season in Maryland and Louisville. So keep an eye out for a candidates piece from myself and Matt Norlander here in a couple hours about, you know, who Louisville may look to now that it looks like Chris Mack is on the way out.
Go read the coverage at CBSSports.com. Hey, David, thank you for the time as always. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you again next week.
All right.
David Cobb from CBSSports.com right here on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. What is it with Louisville?
It just can never seem to stay out of the spotlight.
And nothing's ever normal, whether it's the AD position or that basketball program or how head coaches leave. Same with football at times, but definitely with Louisville basketball.
Just wild, especially with their last two head coaches. And the thought was that Chris Mack was the right hire for Rick Pitino, and he had some success at Xavier. And, man, it just seemed like how things have turned so quickly with that in-state rivalry, because last year you've got Chris Mack calling out Calipari for canceling the game, and he's got this whole hype video and everybody's behind him, and Louisville seems to be buzzing. I mean, they were thought to be a top five team last year.
Yeah.
And that changed so quickly for both programs.
Yeah, now Mack's leaving and Kentucky is back to national title contention. We will come back here on Sports 180 today, set up in Farragut on Kingston Pike. We're inside the Pure Magic Car Wash. You can come by and check out what they can do for your vehicle. Not just today, any day. You can sign up with different subscription levels they have for you, for your vehicle, as we are here until 3 o'clock. Telling you also about what's going on at Northwestern Mutual and the Axiom Wealth Management team, how they can help you, how they've helped people right here at Pure Magic Car Wash. We'll tell you more about it as we continue on Sports 180. We will hit the face-off coming up next. Joel Silverberg's in for Heather. I'm Josh Ward. Logan Ward will set us up with the face-off when we come back on Sports 180 on 99.1, The Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, thank you for being with us. Meant to bring up earlier, I think it might be genius, but Missouri almost upset number one Auburn last night, but didn't. Lost by a point, came down to the final second of the game. Missouri fans did the overrated chant. Overrated. And, you know, it's become a controversial topic in recent years because more people have brought up, wait a minute, if you're, you know, because typically you're beating the team, right? And the fans start chanting overrated, but then that can kind of take away from your win.
Correct.
But in this case, they lost the game. Is this chess, not checkers, doing the overrated chant to the team that beat you? Like, hey, you got the win, but you're still overrated. How about that? I think that makes a little more sense than the overrated chant when you beat the team.
Okay,
you want them to be rated higher if you beat them.
It might make more sense. I don't know if it makes Missouri look any better. I mean, Auburn's still walking out with the win.
No, Missouri stinks either way. But I think in terms of the fan base's chant, it makes more sense in this regard. Because if you're going to call somebody overrated, you're doing it when you beat them. You want them to be ranked high.
Is this what you've done being a Bulls and Raiders fan for years, just trying to find innovative ways to find some solace in the fact that your teams have less than stellar seasons?
Yeah, the last 10 to 15 years of my fandom have largely been about seeking solace. Yes.
Okay.
So that is the answer to your question. As we are here at Pure Magic Car Wash having a great time this afternoon, Farragut Kingston Pike will be here until 3 o'clock. And this is a top-notch facility with what they can do for your vehicle, and the awards that they have won kind of back that up. Career opportunities as well for you right here. And we're also here thanks to Axiom Wealth Management, Northwestern Mutual. We'll tell you what they can do for you and your financial needs and your financial planning for the future as we move along here this afternoon on Sports 180. Joel is in for Heather. Logan Ward is producing for us as he sets us up with the face-off. All righty, Logan, what do you have for us today?
Guys, good afternoon. Should Alabama fans be concerned about the basketball team missing the NCAA tournament?
So the resume right now is still really good, considering wins against quality teams like Gonzaga and Houston. So, Joel, they have wins against a couple of top five teams in KenPom, but also multiple losses to team outside the 100. Georgia's ranked 213th, according to KenPom, with a brutal schedule coming up. I'd be a little concerned right now.
I think the schedule can be tough. I would say I wouldn't get on the concern meter quite yet, but if you continue to take one or two more losses against subpar teams that could really affect your resume, yeah, it'd start to panic a little bit. But those wins are going to carry a lot of weight, and if
they
you could start to get back on track, missing the tournament altogether, I think that's a bit of a stretch because those are the sort of games that help you when you're on the bubble.
If Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams are a package deal, what would be the best landing spot for them?
John Wilkerson threw this out a couple of weeks ago on the NFL Report, and I like it, especially that they're going to make a coaching change, but I think Denver could be really solid. I know that you're having to go and compete in a division with Kansas City, but with a lot of divisions, you're having to go somewhere because it seems like the NFC South is on the table. He doesn't want to stay in the NFC North with Green Bay. So if he's going to leave Green Bay, I think the two of them can make a splash in Denver.
Yeah, that's actually my answer, too. And as a Raiders fan in a division where you already have Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert, I have no interest in Aaron Rodgers also going to Denver with Davante Adams. But, you know, I think San Francisco could be a really intriguing option for Rodgers. But Rodgers and Adams, I'm not sure that would work out with what they need to do. So I agree with Denver.
Thumbs up or thumbs down to the idea of Byron Leftwich becoming the new Jaguars head coach?
So my initial thought with the Jaguars, with Trevor Lawrence and a franchise that's had some issues here the last few years, was I want somebody that's been a head coach that can come in and kind of clean things up. But you have Leftwich, who's played quarterback there. He's respected on the offensive side. I think he would be good for for Lawrence. So I'll give a thumbs up if they go with Byron Leftwich.
I'll give a thumbs up. We were asked about this a couple weeks ago about would you go with Leftwich or O'Brien. Here's the thing with Bill O'Brien. I know that people love to knock him. If you take away his administrative power and just make him a head coach, he can be successful. He's at least proven that much. But I'd still give the thumbs up to Byron Leftwich with the history that he has with the organization. He's progressed as an offensive coordinator. He's going to get a head coaching opportunity at some point. Not bring back somebody that's well-liked by the fans and might be able to build some buzz around the franchise again.
Kobe Bryant died on this date 2 years ago. What is your favorite Kobe Bryant memory?
You know, this isn't going to be one of the more trademark popular picks, but one of the shots that he made that has always stood out to me was at the end of Game 2, I believe it was the 04 NBA Finals against the Pistons, down by three, he pulls up from the top for a tying three-pointer that he hits effortlessly to force overtime. Lakers went on to win. Pistons went on to win that NBA Finals series, but Kobe Bryant, just two things. Number one, how easy it was for him to hit that shot in that spot. And number two, how vertical he got, despite the fact that everybody knew he was getting the ball, nobody had a chance to defend that shot.
Yeah, I'll give you a quick, simple answer. There's a lot to choose from Kobe. I'm going to go young Kobe, the lob against the Blazers to Shaq. That showed us what they could be when they were both at their powers.
All righty, guys, last one. Will Tennessee cover the 9.5-point spread tonight against Florida?
You're not going to like this, Tennessee fans. I think, yes, I think Tennessee will cover. And I say that you're probably not going to like that because you probably want to fade me. But I look at Florida, short rest, Tennessee playing better at home. Gators are not at full strength. I like the Vols tonight.
I guess for the sake of just zagging while you're zigging, I'm going to say no, but I don't think it's going to be because of a competitive contest. I think Tennessee's going to control the game from the outset. I think Florida's going to struggle offensively. Tennessee's defense is going to shut Florida down. And I think while Florida's still putting starters in there trying to work something out, Tennessee's got some reserves in and Florida makes a slight backdoor cover, but I don't think they're going to be in danger of winning the game. So I think Tennessee controls, Florida covers.
All right, Josh gets to win today. I also have Tennessee covered tonight. No Colin Castleton. Three games since Saturday for Florida. I just think it's a bad, bad feeling tonight for Florida. And by the way, Mike White coached Florida teams never play well up here in Knoxville.
All right. Nephew and I are aligned. The Wards are going with Tennessee minus the points against the Gators tonight. That is the faceoff. I'll take the win. It's presented by Marble City Family Chiropractic. Get rid of aches and pains in a natural way with Doctors Jason and Alicia Bloom at Marble City Chiropractic. Call 766-2081 to set up your one-on-one consultation today. Start living the life you were designed to live at Marble City Family Chiropractic. And how about this? Love this, by the way. It's an earlier tip-off, 6 o'clock at Thompson Bowling Arena, so we want to make sure that you're able to go. But the first caller to 656 wins a pair of tickets to tonight's game at Thompson Bowling Arena, Tennessee at home against Florida. 656 wins is the phone number. The first caller to 656 wins will get a pair of tickets to tonight's Tennessee Florida game. Logan Ward standing by for you. As we have 2 hours to go here at the Pure Magic Car Wash in Farragut on Kingston Pike. Set up here thanks to the Axiom Wealth Management Team and Northwestern Mutual. Stop by, see what they can do for your vehicle. We'll tell you more about what Axiom can do for you and your financial future as we continue on Sports 180 today. With Joel Silverberg, I'm Josh Ward, here until 3 o'clock on Sports 180 on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.